Oh, hi everybody, and yes, thank you very much for the opportunity to come and talk to you today. I am just going to run through some slides that look at the common metrics that have been developed by the Green Property Alliance. So I will, just for this presentation, I'll go through what the aims have been in putting together the common metrics, a little bit about what the Property Industry Alliance is and where the Green Property Alliance actually sits within that group. I'm afraid this adds more to the alphabet soup that Paul was talking about earlier. I've got a couple of slides on the current position in terms of investment and metrics, some of which goes over sort of material that has already been covered, so I'll flick through those. And then talk about how we actually put these common metrics together, and then importantly the recommendations that have been come up with that we've come up with and some conclusions. So the idea was that we would put together a common framework, a set of metrics that the industry could use. The Green Property Alliance became aware that there are an inordinate number of metrics that are around there and benchmarks, many of which were using different types of metric and different systems, which was really not helping the investors to begin to address sustainability in their portfolios. We wanted to have a set of metrics that were informed by investors, owners, and occupiers, so one that's something that was actually delivered by the industry based on what the industry was already doing. And we wanted it to really focus at building level. There's a lot of work that's going on at organizational level and at policy level, but we really wanted to do something that focused on the nuts and bolts of what you were going to have to do, what we really need to understand about the buildings in terms of their sustainability impacts. We also wanted to make sure that we were using existing tools, because the last thing we wanted to do was add to proliferation. So we looked at what was already being done in the sector in order to actually to develop something that that was based on existing practice. Really the idea was to make sure that we were supporting the industry's response to the sustainability agenda. So that was the overarching aims of the project. The Property Industry Alliance itself, which really, this has been done under the auspices of the Property Industry Alliance. The Property Industry Alliance is a pan-industry organisation. It includes us, the IPF, RICS, BCO, other organisations, as you can see there. And really, it's a kind of informal structure in many ways. It works virtually. We have meetings, and really it's in order to try and make sure these organizations work together on specific issues, because there are some issues in which it's clearly important that the industry is actually speaking with one voice, and sustainability is very much one of those issues. So the Green Property Alliance is a subcommittee within the Property Industry Alliance, and obviously it focuses specifically on sustainability issues, but it also brings in other organizations which are relevant. So Cornet's part of that organization, part of the Green Property Alliance, the UK GBC, other organizations which are useful, and then industry as well. So PRU, Hammerson, Drivers Jones, there's lots of different organizations who contribute. And the idea is to try to get some cross-industry communication about this, obviously what is a major issue for us as an industry. So context, and as I say, some of this has been covered by Paul, the fact that, and by others, and the fact that there are so many benchmarking systems that have been established. But what is apparent is there is little consistency in the metrics that are being used within them, and this makes it sort of more difficult and adds to the reluctance of many participants to really contribute. Because there is little consistency, we just are really struggling to develop a coherent set of data. And in work that the IPF has done to try to, we commissioned various different pieces of research in this area, and one of the problems that we always have, and our research teams always have when we're trying to do work in this area, is to actually find a coherent set of data. It makes it very difficult to then begin to do anything to compare performance. The research that we tend to be wanting to commission is looking at in this area. We'll be looking at investment performance and its links to environmental performance, and it becomes increasingly difficult to try to do that in any meaningful way without a coherent set of data. So, from the IPF's point of view, we were very keen to kind of make sure that there was some sort of commonality in this area. There is also the issue that this simply just starts to it deters business from starting to collect data, largely because if you don't really know how, you know, what is the best system for collecting data, then you're going to put off the decision to actually start doing it. It's an expensive business to collect data. It's complicated. It's resource intensive. So unless you've got a clear kind of system, a clear program, and you know the way you're collecting data is going to be the right way to do it, then many businesses are just going to simply hold off doing that until something becomes, they get more clarity. And this in itself is obviously weakening the industry's response to sustainability. And one of the things that we know and is apparent is that there's a lot more regulation coming down the line that will affect the industry. And really we need to be able to be much more proactive in engaging with that development. And it's very difficult to do that if we're stumbling at the first hurdle of really trying to get data together. Current position, we've obviously covered some of this in Paul's presentation. There's a lot of increasing awareness of sustainability, and I mean, you know, over the last, just the last 2 or 3 years, it's moved on a lot with the, particularly with the fund managers, investors. There's a lot of very good practice that's going on. We still have masses of different sustainability benchmarking systems that are available. And as I said, they will use a range of different variables for measuring the factors that they want to cover. Paul mentioned that there were there was a survey that looked at 170 plus of these benchmarking systems. I know Taylor Wessing has just put out their index, their kind of look it up index as opposed to measuring index, which I counted up certainly 180 different benchmarking systems on there. So across the world, so there are an enormous number of these. If we could get some kind of systematic kind of consistency within the way in which they were measuring basic metrics, that would really help. So we've got to have the data. There is good practice. If we can build on that good practice, then I think the industry will take a big step forward. So how do we go about putting together the common metrics? We looked at starting simply. So looking at the key sustainability factors which you need to really cover to start with. And obviously energy, waste, water, carbon are the key ones. We wanted to look at normalization factors for those because one of the key problems that we have is that once you've actually, is how do we compare one building with another? We struggle, obviously, because the buildings that we, you know, our stock is so unique, each one is so unique. So, you know, we have to start thinking about some way of normalizing so that we can actually compare apples with apples, if you like. The data that we looked at is largely limited to the UK, but where we were looking at systems that are in place and reporting that is already being done by property companies, many of those are international property companies. So the systems are fairly universal that we've come up with. What we haven't done is look at social factors. And one of the things that we decided, obviously, to keep this simple, but also to flag up that once we've got this established and if industry starts to take this up, then we would look at extending the number of factors and to start including other factors within the common metrics list. But to start with, we had to keep it simple. And the social factors we've always struggled with because they are so difficult to actually get a standardized measure for. So this looks, you know, starting at the basic building blocks. We looked at existing benchmarking systems and existing reporting that was going on by industry participants. We felt that if the industry is going to say this is what it can do, then it needs to actually kind of use what's current practice as a starting point. So 13 benchmarking tools, 11 different company reports were looked at. We looked at what physical characteristics were being reported. And what metrics were largely being used for the metrics, the areas that we wanted to cover, what was being reported on those, and what was being reported on the physical characteristics of the buildings themselves. From this, we put together a common list, and we then went out to industry with an industry workshop to review these and to talk to participants about how they felt these measures would work. So the recommendations that we came up with, So the recommendations that we came up with, first of all, looking at building characteristics, to start with, it's going to be very important to have some basic information on a number of building characteristics so that we can begin to start comparing one building with another and start the normalization process. So using, and again, using existing metrics that are out there already as the basis. So type of building, using existing typologies. So there are, obviously, there's Energy Star typologies, the Valuation Office in the UK has typologies, and IPD has a very extensive classification system for buildings. So if we can use existing typologies like that, particularly ones from our point of view that are that are familiar to the investment sector, then that sort of, you know, begins to give you a kind of foundation in terms of what your building classification is. We need to have data on the hours and days of operation. We need to have data on types of climate control. Age of building isn't as relevant, really, we felt, as the date of the last refurbishment of the building, because that speaks to under what regulations it has works may have been carried out. You know, how efficient, how sustainable should you expect a building to be? And then it's useful to collect data in terms of special uses of the buildings, because obviously there are big differentials in terms of the energy efficiency of stock and how intensive the carbon emissions for building will be, depending on whether it's got things like server rooms, trading floors, restaurants. There are many other types of use that you can come up with. So this just gives you a table of the different these kinds of building characteristics to give you some context. And how we would recommend that they be gathered, which is fairly straightforward. The recommendations themselves, in terms of the common metrics, was recommendation number two. First of all, obviously we have energy, building energy split out by fuel type, and we've recommended obviously the split out by fuel type. So you have electricity, the different types of fuels, and then thermals. It needs to be measured very simply. Landlord services. What's being provided by the landlord, what's being supplied by the tenant, and that needs to be looked at in terms of kilowatt hours. Net lettable area is always your performance indicator. If at the moment, if we manage to get some consistency in terms of occupancy measurement, then obviously we can start looking at slightly different performance indicators for different types of stock. Water used, water saved. Total water is fairly straightforward, and there was quite a lot of consistency in terms of the metrics that were being gathered, so that should be something that we can get some consistency on. And in terms of water saved, the ratio of total water used was going to be the most relevant metric to use. In terms of waste, has to be done, we felt, in tons as a weight, and then the ratio of that total waste in terms of what was being recycled and what was going in other routes, what was being used for waste to energy and different types of the conclusion of those particular waste routes. Waste is one of the issues that is quite contested in terms of the landlord and tenant discussion because of where the waste is originating. There are some metrics, and there's quite a lot of good practice being developed in terms of how you're measuring what's coming out of the building. But it is one of those issues which will become increasingly important in terms of the operation of the building to identify where that waste is coming from. In terms of carbon, and it's important to go back to the work that Nicholas is doing on this, obviously we need to look at greenhouse gas emissions and emissions saved, and the recommendation here is to look at the DEFRA reporting factors in order to calculate the carbon within this framework. We will obviously be working with the different organizations here in order to keep these metrics up to date, but this was the standard that we felt was most appropriate at the moment and the one that was being most commonly used. Mm-hmm. Recommendation three was related to boundaries, and once we get into this area, then we're looking at the areas that are more complex, specifically for a commercial stock that's let. Where do the boundaries lie in the ownership of the data? This is very straightforward if you've got an owner-occupied building, but of course not very many buildings in the commercial sector, particularly in the UK, are necessarily owner-occupied. Let buildings, it becomes more complicated. Multi-let buildings, more complicated still, particularly where you have different counterparties to energy bills, different metering arrangements in different buildings. So the recommendation at this stage is a very basic one, but it seems basic, but, you know, we're not even at this stage yet. But what we're saying is that landlords and tenants have to establish and measure what it is that they are providing. If we can get to that stage, it would be a big step forward. We're then looking, the group is then looking at working with other organizations to work out how we then take this forward further in terms of the responsibilities for the landlord and tenant. But ultimately, if the landlord and tenants, each party is willing and able to work out what it is that they are providing to the building, it would be a big help. Recommendation four is regarding to the presenting of the data, because we need to have some consistency in terms of certainly understanding the reporting where you started to collect data. The fluidity of the property investment portfolios makes it difficult to really get very consistent reporting. Makes it something of a challenge, because obviously there's properties going in and out of the portfolios all of the time. The group felt that there were two real options for looking at portfolios. One is to look at a like-for-like portfolio, which obviously where you're establishing a set of buildings and you can consistently report on that set of buildings. To some extent, this can be better because you're looking at a consistent set of buildings and you'll be able to measure, you'll be able to understand on a over time how that set of buildings is performing. The difficulty with it is once you move in over any kind of lengthy period of time, your sample will shrink as buildings are going out of portfolio. And I think Paul and your experience is a proof in terms of setting up the improver portfolio, and the speed with which properties go in and out of those portfolios, I think you probably found this to be an issue. It'd be interesting to hear your comments on that. The alternative is to use use denominators. So you've got a whole portfolio, and then you look at your unit of floor area, for example, and that's going to be the most appropriate unit of measurement at the moment. Obviously, you can use it. You can do this over a longer period of time because you're looking at a whole. You're looking at a whole portfolio, and you're able to monitor that in terms of what's going in and out over a period. But what is important here is that you're always making sure that your consumption data is matching the denominator. So you're always your consumption that you're what you're measuring. You're always monitoring actually what the floor area is for that consumption. It has to be consistent. You have to be one of the things. It doesn't particularly matter which method you're using, which type of report you're doing, but you must be clear about what it is, so that anybody who's looking at the reporting that you're doing can actually understand it clearly. Obviously, meter square net leasable area should be the default measure. But as I said before, in terms of occupancy, this is another kind of big area in terms of development of metrics for the industry, because we need to really get to a consistent way of looking at occupancy, particularly for different property types. The BCO guide specification is useful, and the IPD space code is also useful if you wanted to start to look at occupancy and look at different ways of measuring it. So to wrap up, if we can get some common metrics, the industry will move forward a big pace. It's such a crucial issue for us. So the Green Property Alliance has really put these metrics out there to say, please use them. These are metrics that we know are being used by organizations, so it is possible for us to measure in this way, and if we can get some consistency on this, then it would really help other organizations who aren't yet measuring to understand the ways in which to start to collect data. There is a huge amount more work to be done, and obviously we want to and are working with UNSBCI and with GRI and other organizations in order to make this happen. It's important to remember that the metrics that we're using here focus on buildings. We're not looking at corporations and organizations. And I did say that at the beginning, and I've come back to that. We are looking practically at buildings here, not at any higher level. But these metrics would allow you to feed into all of the reporting that you're having to do further up the organization. And my final point is, don't underestimate how challenging this is for the industry. It's taken us a long time to get here, largely because this is a very difficult problem, and we really need to think about this long and hard, and everybody really needs to work together on it. That's my presentation. Thank you very much. I can hand back now.